WAPO situation's actually insane, though. Yes, that is true. Perhaps content with destroying legacy media if he can't control it entirely. Jeff Bezos is cutting a third of the staff of the Washington Post, an entire third, eliminating its sports section, several foreign bureaus, and its book coverage. Yeesh. Yeah, they fired, in addition to many other people, they fired an on the ground reporter in Ukraine while she's out there. Like right now, she's in like a trench or something, just outside of the fucking Donbass, and she just got a text.
Is it even legal?
It's America. Oh, excuse me, sorry, big sneeze. German asking here, what's WAPO's political leaning? Corpo Zionist. Like all other media in America, there were good people who worked at the Washington Post, but Jeff Bezos took over it like in an explicit ideological effort. He literally, like, from him, a missive came out to like not criticize the president. Remember? Remember that? Like he was directly controlling the content of the WAPO. Like, we are all pro, we're, all of our editorials will now be pro-America. You're not going to see any of that anti-American, business here. Cut their endorsement of Kamala Harris in 2024, 11 days before the election. Yeah. Martin Baron, the Post's first editor under its current owner, condemned his former boss and called what had happened to the newspaper a case study in near-instant self-inflicted brand destruction. Cool. It's very sad. Not to say I'm a tremendous fan of the Washington Post, but it's better if they kill it instead of using it against us. Well, I think the reason Jeff Bezos is cutting so many people is because he's realized that it's actually really, really difficult to manipulate public opinion when you are trying to channel your propaganda through the voices of a bunch of different journalists. It's actually easier to just control everything through algorithms, right? Why bother controlling WAPO when you can just like make the algorithms on Meta pages or TikTok or Twitter like not show you Trump critical content? Or they just want to use AI to write more papers? Yeah, maybe. With the focus on national security issues? Yeah, Israel. Israel, 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 Israel. It's always Israel. It's always Israel.
Of its staff. This has been expected for weeks, especially after the paper decided not to send reporters to the Winter Olympics, but later changed course. Sources tell CNN the restructuring, as they call it, includes shutting down almost the entire sports section and canceling the Daily Post Reports podcast. The paper's Metro desk is also being restructured, and there are plans to shrink the paper's international coverage. Joining us now to discuss is Sally Quinn, a Washington Post contributor and founder and editor of On Faith, also longtime Washington Post columnist and the spouse of the late legendary Ben Bradlee, who was executive editor of the paper for many years, including during Watergate. Sally, what is your reaction to these layoffs?
I think the only word I can say is grief. Everybody's in a state of grief. It's really like in the last year, it's just been one funeral after the other. We've had nothing but going away parties, people being laid off, people being taking the buyout, people just quitting. And it's just tragic what's happening to the Washington Post. And I don't, there's nobody who doesn't feel that way. It's not just me. It's not just the people at the Post, but it's everybody in journalism. My colleagues at the New York Times are just as upset as anybody because they don't want to see journalism dying, and they certainly don't want to see the Washington Post dying. The Washington Post is an institution, just like the New York Times. And
it's a little bit difficult to sympathize because WAPO and the New York Times are both wretched institutions. Like, even now, she refuses to call out why it's being lost. So captured are these journalists that even now, as she's being, like, her organization is being gutted, she can't even name, like, what the enemy is, you know?
Of having the paper just wither away is just so sad. And, given what else is going on in the country, it's sort of a double whammy. So there's a sort of double sense of grief going on in this community, particularly in the journalism community.
Why does it matter beyond just the journalism community? Because obviously we care about it. I know Wolf and I, we were talking about this. We care deeply. But
also the fact that when talking about the harm that this does, her first thoughts are to talk about other journalists rather than, you know, the American people. Yeah, this, yeah, it's like natural disaster framing. Oh, who knows why this is happening? It's just so unfortunate that it is happening. And anyway, those primarily affected? Well, me and my colleagues, obviously, you know? Me, the people around us. Not, you know, this doesn't say anything about, like, the broader relationship between journalism and the American people or the harm being done there. It's just like, oh, yeah, it's sad because our little club's getting broken up.
Why is it a bigger issue for the American public, in your view?
Well, you know, we're talking about freedom of the press and freedom of speech and knowledge. Knowledge is power. And if you can't be educated and informed, you can't be a good citizen. And we have a situation now where we really need a lot of good citizens. We need people who are educated and informed. And, you know, a lot of places, news outlets, you don't find the truth. You find lies.
Uh-huh. Which outlets? Why? Which?
Now, all kinds of conspiracy theories. And so it's really important to have a news organization that you can trust. And the Washington Post has always been a news organization you could trust. And you can now, because the news side of the newspaper is fantastic. I mean, the editorial side that, and the reporting is fantastic right now. And given the fact that we've lost so many great reporters, I mean, over 100 fabulous reporters, we still are putting out a great product. And it's...
This woman is 84 years old. I'm looking at her Wikipedia page right now, and there's not that much... there's not that much information here, though I found this tidbit funny. She was doing some ad-libbing while a co-anchor at CBS Morning News back in 1973, following a report on the children of California, migrant farm workers. She quipped about child labor being nothing more than vexing after having to clean a room for 30 minutes as a child. That was 50 years ago, so I don't know if I want to, like, hang her from that one, but it is pretty funny that that statement's been memorialized for a half century, and I don't have much else to work off of when it comes to, you know, assessing her character.
I just can't tell you how fantastic the people are left, are still, what kind of job they're doing, because given all the cuts and the layoffs and the budgets and everything else, they're really doing their best job. And so I think this is so important for the American people to have access to the news and the facts so that they can make informed judgments when they get ready to vote.
Well, Jeff Bezos, a billionaire, is doing this apparently to increase profitability as the justification for this.
Uh-huh.
What is your message to Jeff Bezos in this moment, Sally?
Well, he's got to know that as I'm not the only one who's sad. And,
yeah.
You know, it's clear. We all know that he's one of the richest men in the world. And so it just seems heartbreaking that he doesn't feel the paper is important enough to bankroll. And,
it's sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the decision for one of the wealthiest men in the world to buy out a legendary newspaper and then run it into the ground, it's just sad. No institutional commentary or critique there. Nothing, like, broader to be learned here. Just, oh, it's a wealthy guy making a sad decision. We're all very sad about it.
And you know, we're just losing so many readers and so many subscriptions. And when Jeff took over, he basically said this, buying the Washington Post with a sacred trust. And it is a sacred trust. And we all felt, he said we had a huge runway, and we all felt that the runway was not going to end.
Okay.
That he would support the paper no matter what. And he's...
Yeah, it is crazy that American journalists are so trained on passive language that they refer to their own being sacked in that way. Like, it's not just Palestinian children or the victims of police violence or whatever. Now it's like, as you are being fired by an oligarch, you know, even now you're like, well, you know, I was involved in a billionaire involved firing. You think there's no like vitriol
talks
about. Like, you're wealthy and 84. What are you worried about? Not, like, getting blacklisted from the industry?
About how this is a business, and the business is not thriving, it's not making any money. And that's true. But a lot of the reason is because so many people cancel their subscriptions. 300,000 people cancel their subscriptions when they when he yanked the Kamala Harris endorsement from the editorial page. And then
yeah, that was pretty weird for the billionaire oligarch who's friends with Trump to order directly the removal of an endorsement for Kamala Harris 11 days before the election, even though that endorsement was from the editorial team, the people who are trusted by the readers of the newspaper. Yeah, that is pretty weird, actually. You know, what an interesting decision that was.
After that, and the editorial page went much more conservative, more and more people have backed out. So that's a huge amount of money we lost.
Went much more conservative.
And it just seems to me that making all these cuts, although they say it's for the good of the newspaper and the newspaper will thrive once we've had all these cuts. How can you do that if you don't have the content? And if you don't have the great reporters, you don't have any good content. Who is going to want to buy it?
Sally, you make a very valid point. And
I've seen cadavers more emotional than this. It's not about her being, like, not emotional enough. It's that her language is, as they always do, crafted to avoid implicating people in power. The objectively correct answer here is an oligarch and a close confidant of the president bought up the newspaper and then stifled the free speech of its editors in an effort to get a single president elected, and has since tried to ideologically control the content that it produces. And as a result, listen, guys, conservatives don't read. Pages like the Washington Post will never succeed off a conservative base because conservatives are unintelligent. They're semi-sapient. They're not capable of reading. They're not capable of thinking. They're not going to buy your paper. So obviously this was doomed to fail. But like, but based on her language, you would think that all of this was just like a morally neutral, like, poor business decision or an unfortunate consequence of a move. You know, the fucking narcissists in the American journalist, journalistic enterprise sphere, whatever you want. I can't stand these people. They think they're better than righteous anger. I mean, I assume they were subjected to some corporate training to be like that. Oh, yeah. They would never allow, like, somebody who could criticize power to be anywhere near the top of a big journalistic enterprise. Not even close. Not to brag, but Ukrainian journalists are really good in this regard. That's great. Thank you. Look, it really has to do with your country's relationship to capital, and thankfully the GDP of Ukraine is $5 if you exempt all of the arms manufacturing. So, you know, yes, I'm sure that their journalists have plenty of shoulder room. Unfortunately, over here, every institution in America is worth $50 trillion, and it's completely captured. So, you know,